السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Is there something wrong with sitting directly in front of me? Or am I through something? What's that? Am I through something at you? Maybe we should have been a space for the jinns. The jinns also sit in teeny talks. But I can see the jinns, maybe one of you can. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Before I begin, I'm going to ask all of you to do a favor. The favor is very simple. When someone returns from Hajj, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us to recite a certain dua for him. So whenever someone returns from Hajj, it is sunnah to say this dua to the person. And the dua is very simple. It has the, and the dua, when I mention the dua, then you will understand the dua is very beneficial for the person who is returning. So inshallah, if we just explain what the dua is, then inshallah, if I say the dua, then you can repeat after me, then I will gain your dua, inshallah. So the dua has three parts. It is a very easy dua. The first part is قبل الله حجك. قبل الله حجك means may Allah Ta'ala accept your hajj. Now, before we go ahead, let's just think about our attitude. Normally when someone comes from hajj, some people have given dua. They say hajj mabrur. Hajj mabrur means may Allah Ta'ala give you accepted hajj. And some people congratulate you. Hajj mubarak. Or whatever words they use. But when do you congratulate someone? You congratulate someone when they've carried out an achievement. They've done something great. So you might say, yes, this person has done something great, they have carried out Hajj. But that Hajj is only great if it is accepted by Allah Ta'ala. If you carry out a very big good deed, a very hard good deed, in fact any good deed, but let's give an example of you carry out a very difficult good deed, then you carried out that difficult good deed, but whether you will gain reward for that or not is dependent upon whether it is accepted by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala or not. That is the reality. Just because I tried my utmost doesn't mean it is accepted in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. For acceptance, there are other conditions which we will go into later, which is a different topic, sincerity, etc., that you carried it out in the correct method. But the point being that I have carried out a great achievement, but I don't act. If you carry out a great achievement in worldly matters, you come first in your school exams, then immediately you know that it is a great achievement. There is a sporting event in a famous sport, the Olympics, this cup, that cup, and one team wins, one individual wins. Immediately they know they've done the achievement, there and then. Whenever you carry out any good deed, then you do not know for sure if it is an achievement. You will only know for sure if it is an achievement when you go into the hereafter, and you receive your book of deeds, and that deed is written in your book of deeds, in your good deeds. That means it is accepted by Allah Ta'ala. When you go to have your deeds weighed, and you see that deed in your scale of good deeds. So I have, and so many people have been given the tawfiq to go for Hajj. Or someone gets given the tawfiq to go for, someone gets for Umrah, someone gets given the tawfiq to become Hafiz, Alim. Whether they know it is an achievement or not, they don't know for sure until the hereafter. when they see it in their good deeds, then they know it is accepted. So in this world you will not know. That is not to say you shouldn't be happy. You should be happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the tawfiq to do it. But at the same time you should have this worry. This worry and this feeling inside that I hope it is accepted. Some ulama have written that you know what the sign is that your deed is accepted. The sign your deed is accepted is that you have worried that is it accepted or not. So if you carry out a deed and you have worried that I hope it is accepted, you make dua that Allah accepted, that means you have worry. And not just, you know, like some of our duas, we just make a, there is no thought, we genuinely think, I hope it is accepted. I carried out 30 fasts in the month of Ramadan, I hope it is accepted by Allah. I went for itikaf, I hope it is accepted. If you make this dua, this is a very good sign. This worry for acceptance is a good sign that your action is accepted. So one thing we learn from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu sharia is that when you do a good deed, be happy. But more than congratulation, worry about acceptance. That is why on the day of Eid, every person is feeling happy, he is feeling joyful. And when we meet each other, we say Eid Mubarak. Eid Mubarak is a form of congratulation as well. But when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to meet each other, what did they say? They said, Taqabbal Allahu minna wa min. They were happy as well. It's natural. But at the same time, they understood that true happiness, the true achievement is if our 30 fasts, our tarawih of 20 rakats every day, our itikaf is accepted. So when they used to meet each other, they used to make dua for acceptance. Taqabbal Allahu minna wa min. May Allah ta'ala accept your deeds, may Allah ta'ala accept my deeds. So in the same way, when we carry out any deed, we should worry about its acceptance, we should make dua for it. And when we meet someone who has carried out a great deed, then I'm not saying don't congratulate them. But if you do congratulate them with them, definitely make the dua. If you can remember the Arabic words for the person who is returning from Hajj, قَبِلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكَ مَيَ اللَّهُ تَلَىٰ accept your head, that's fantastic. But if you can't do that, then at least say to them in English, may Allah ta'ala accept your Hajj. That is the teaching of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the first part of the dua. May Allah ta'ala accept your Hajj. قَبِلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكَ. The second part, وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكَ. May Allah Ta'ala forgive your sins. Forgive your shortcomings, forgive your sins. And the third part, وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكَ. May Allah Ta'ala replace the spending which you have done. Whatever you have spent to carry out Hajj, may Allah Ta'ala replace it. And majority of people who have gone for Hajj will give you this experience, will tell you. It is something that shows itself time and time again. That Hajj nowadays gets more and more expensive. This year, 7 to 10,000 pounds for some people, more so. But if you meet any of those who have performed Hajj this year within a few years, very rare will you find the person who says, I'm struggling. And you know what? I did it for the sake of Allah, but if I had that 7-10,000 pounds, it would have. They will say, Allah Ta'ala give me more. Allah Ta'ala replaced it very quickly. So this is the third dua. So if you repeat after me so that I will gain your dua, inshallah. قَبِلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكَ وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكَ وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكَ. May Allah accept your Hajj and forgive your sins and replace your spending. Jazakallahu khairan. It's a very great dua, so it is a favor of yours. And it is my request to all of you that whenever you meet any returning Hajj, if you can't remember in Arabic, we have only said it once. Inshallah, if I get a chance, I will put it on the notice board. But you say whatever you remember in English, may Allah Ta'ala accept your Hajj. That alone is a very great dua. And here I should mention that out of all the parts of our deen, one very easy part of our deen is these duas. And I've just explained one very short dua to you. But you've understood that this dua is perfect for the occasion. But if you Hajj takes a lot of effort for every person, for young and old. And then imagine someone told you that your effort is useless. You earn nothing for your effort. But Allah Ta'ala save us all. Imagine a person went in the hereafter and he would be told that your Hajj is useless because it was not accepted. For whatever reason. Maybe there was no sincerity, maybe it was not done in the correct manner, maybe you made it. Imagine someone told you that, never mind, you're fasting of your whole life, fasting of 1 month. You kept 20-hour fast, 18-hour fast, 29, 30 days in a row. And in the hereafter when you went, you could not find it in your book of deeds. Imagine what you would feel like. Never mind salah of your whole life, imagine salah of 1 year. You went into the hereafter and you looked and you could not find it in your book. Imagine what you would feel like. So to give someone the dua that may Allah Ta'ala accept your action is a very great dua. It's not a small dua. There are some things that we think are small because they are just repeated, but it is not a small dua at all. It is a very great dua. So, this is something to remember. And I was saying that this also tells us that when he spends a large amount, then naturally shaitan puts thoughts into his mind. Naturally shaitan puts thoughts into his mind that even a person is spending for the sake of Allah, shaitan puts thoughts into your mind that, okay, you'll struggle afterwards. Sometimes even when the time comes for zakat. Now, those of us who don't earn much, those of us who don't have much wealth, the more wealth you have, the higher your zakat value is. 2.5%. So those people who don't earn much, for example, if you only have £1,000 in your zakat assets, then your zakat will be £25. £25, if you take it out, you will not have any thoughts. That's not even your weekly takeaway. But if a person gets into the millions and billions, and then he has to take zakat out, and on the face of it, the zakat value has 5 zeros, then shaitan starts putting thoughts into his head. So when a person spends for the sake of Allah, it's natural shaitan tries to put thoughts into his head. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also in this dua, he taught us to remove this worry from the person. Make dua for the person that may Allah Ta'ala replace your spending. So my point being is that these duas, they are, you can say, perfect for the occasion. If any one of us asked us that when a person returns from Hajj, think of what dua you would give to him. None of us would be able to think of a better dua than this. So whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a dua for occasion, it's a perfect dua. That means if you make a habit of reciting the duas taught to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and every one of us knows a few of them. But if you didn't know this dua, you know the dua before eating, don't you? You know a few, every person knows a few duas. And alhamdulillah, now, the internet has its, the social media has its good side and bad side. The bad side is much bigger. But one of the good aspects is that very often these duas are shared with the references, with authentic duas are shared very commonly now on social media. And many of those duas which are not widely known, they are now being circulated more and more. Although, this is something to keep in mind, that whenever you see anything on social media, double check its authenticity. If something is authentic is very easy. Either you know who it is being said from, and the person who is sending to you, maybe he's an alim, or he's someone who you know, he checks it is authentic and then he sends it to you. Or if you don't know, then find someone who you know who has a bit of knowledge, an alim, or someone that is this authentic. So checking if something is authentic is not difficult at all. And nowadays everything can happen from your sofa. You receive it on your phone, okay, so let me send it to so and so alim and ask him. You don't even get off your sofa to do it. So, but to keeping that aside, alhamdulillah, nowadays, the number of du'as, if a person wants to learn, it is very easy to learn more du'as. So, my request to every one of you is that whenever you get the chance, learn these du'as. If you can make a target of learning one du'a a week, that is fantastic. If you feel that my memory is not so strong, then learn one dua a month. You will learn 12 duas a year. In 5 years, over 100 new duas, 60 new duas will have entered your life. And every, we just read them. But behind every dua is you're asking for something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And usually it is something which is exactly what you need. After Hajj, this is exactly what you need. You need that your Hajj was accepted through your Hajj, your sins are forgiven. You need that money is replaced by Allah ta'ala. So if you make it a point of reciting all the masnoon du'as, you will find so many of your needs fulfilled by themselves. So many difficulties are being removed from your life. Why are they being removed? Because you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the removal through these du'as, even though you don't know the meaning. If I give you a very simple example, one du'a which every person knows is Bismillah wa barakatillah. Bismillah wa barakatillah, which we read before eating. What does this very simple and short du'a mean? This du'a means that I'm eating, taking the name of Allah, and asking for blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what does the word blessing mean? The word blessings mean that the food gives me goodness. The reason I am eating the food, the purpose behind the food is fulfilled. What does this mean? This means that the food improves my health. This means I feel satisfied after the food. This means the food gives me energy. It gives me the substances that my body needs. This means that the food gives me the energy which I can use to carry out good deeds. This means that the food gives me the energy which I can use to strive and stay away from the disobedience of Allah. Now this is one very short dua. It is a treasure. It is a treasure. If you make it a point of reading this dua before every meal, then over time you will definitely see the barakah in your life. This is just one dua. And so these du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have great benefits. Number one. Number two, they're not difficult. No person can say that there is effort involved in reading Bismillah wa Barakatillah before eating. The only effort is that you have to pay a little bit of attention. And even that little bit of attention is for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. After 4 weeks, not even after 2-3 weeks, if you do it regularly, it becomes a habit, and then after that you don't even need to pay that attention that I need to remember it. No, you will automatically remember it. So make this a point for every dua, you know. Dua for leaving the masjid, entering the masjid. The duas for leaving and entering the masjid are on the masjid door as well. But not just leaving and entering any masjid. And any other duas, you know. Whatever duas you know, start praying them. You will see, inshallah, you will see the barakah of it in your life. You will see changes in your life over time. Don't expect anything on the first day. When you do something for Allah, do something with the intention that if Allah Ta'ala doesn't give me anything in this world, if it doesn't make this much change to it in my life, in this world, it doesn't matter, I'm doing it for Allah. But it will definitely bring change into your life. In this world, it will create ease. This is the first benefit. And the second benefit is greater. The second benefit is that all of these du'as are a form of the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah. And the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah has great benefits. Some ulama have counted over 80 benefits of the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah. But one very great benefit of the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah is that it makes the rest of deen easier. It makes the rest of deen easier. When Sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bedouin means someone who doesn't live in the city, he lives in the desert. And he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said that, إِنَّ شَرَائِعَ الْإِسْلَامِ قَدْ كَثُرَتْ عَلَيَّ. The commands of deen seem too much for me. Seem too much for me. فَمُرْنِي بِشَيْءٍ أَتَشَبَّثُ بِهِ. So, give me the magic formula. These are my words. Give me the magic formula. Tell me, give me something which I can hold fast to. So the ulama have explained this hadith in different ways, but some of them have said that this person, he was trying to say that, give me something that will make everything easy. And look, if you think about it, a sahabi is someone who gains the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama have written that any person who gained the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he becomes a wali, a special friend of Allah, and a person of such piety that others cannot reach that level. So this person was of this level of piety. So the person with this level of piety, why would he feel that deen is too difficult? If you are so pious, we are saying that any person who has gained the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so pious, his iman is so strong that any other person cannot reach his level. Then why did this sahabi come with this question that deen feels, the commands of deen feel too many for me? So the answer is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is very merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that later on in the ummah there will be many people in whose head this shaitan will put this thought. Deen is too much, too many commands. If salah comes into my life, then controlling my anger is difficult. If fasting comes into my life, then staying away from ghibah is difficult. If I bring this under control, then this slips. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that this question will come into the minds of many people in future. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately put this question into the mind of a sahabi, made a sahabi feel like this. So he would go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would ask this question and the answer would be given from the blessed tongue of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which would benefit the Muslims until the day of judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this question in the mind of the sahabi to help you and I, so that we get our answer to the question which comes into our head. The deen seems too much at times. So the sahabi, he came and he said this. The deen seems too much, so give me something that I should pay special attention to. Like I said, the magic formula. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يزال لسانك رطبا بذكر الله. Your tongue should remain moist in the remembrance of Allah. Your tongue should remain moist means that it should remain permanently. If the tongue keeps moving, it does not dry up. Whilst the tongue moves, saliva is created in the mouth. So meaning as 24/7, but as much as possible, a person should remain in the dhikr of Allah. Now there are many ways of doing that. Tilawah of the Quran is a form of the dhikr of Allah. But tilawah of the Quran is something which a hafiz can do anytime and every time. And a hafiz should do so. A hafiz should make it a point of reciting the Quran, not just sitting down, even whilst he is walking. There is an incident written in the books that there is a person. He was traveling. And he came to rest, and it so happened that he came to rest near the graveyard. The people in the past had a bit of courage. Nowadays, no one would even think of sleeping near a graveyard. But people in the past, they had a bit of courage. So he was going past, and he saw that I need to stop, I need to have a rest. He had a rest there. In his sleep, he saw a dream, a true dream, in which in that very graveyard where he was sleeping nearby, he saw that the graves are open, and in every grave a person is sitting there, and then some people come, a group of people come with gifts. When this group of people come with gifts, then the people of the grave, they flock to grab these gifts, to take some for themselves. So this is going on in his dream. And he notices in his dream that there is an old man who is sitting in one in his grave, but he's not moving. He's just there relaxed. Everyone else is running to go grab some of those gifts for themselves. He's sitting there relaxed. So he said, let me go ask the old man what is going on. So he went to the old man and he asked him, what is going on here? So the old man said that these gifts that you are seeing, this is actually reward of good deeds which the living people have sent to the dead. that so and so prayed some Quran, he prayed Qul Huwallahu Ahad 3 times. And he said, this is for the dead of this graveyard, or this is for the dead people of the entire ummah. So and so gives him sadaqah, and he told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send the reward of this to all the dead people in the ummah. So different good deeds, but people have sent the reward, but this reward, the angels are bringing it. So people are flocking to for this reward. People are flocking to these gifts. So the person said, okay, but you don't seem bothered. You are sitting relaxed in your grave. So he said, I don't need these gifts. Because when I passed away, I left a son behind. I left a son behind who I had made Hafiz of the Quran. And he's a businessman, he's a merchant. He runs a shop. But it is his practice that during his work day, he recites the Quran. And every single day he finishes one entire Quran. And he sends the reward only to me. So I receive that personal gift every day. So these gifts which are for everyone, which people have sent the reward to everyone for, I don't need them. This, my friends, my brothers, my elders, will happen if we make our children hafiz and we give them the correct tarbiyah as well. We give them the importance of reciting the Quran. And if there is anyone listening to me who is becoming hafiz, strengthen your intention and make your intention that you will not just become a hafiz, you will become a hafiz who is worthy of all the virtues of a true hafiz, whose life is according to the Quran which he memorizes. Every single virtue of a hafiz which you hear, and I'm not going to go into them because it's for that hafiz who lives his life according to the Quran which he has memorized. Not according to that hafiz who the Quran is in his heart, but it is not in anywhere else in his life. So this person, he said that I have a son, and he reads the Quran, he sends the reward to me every day. So the person asked that, this son, where is his shop? So he said, his name is so and so, his shop. When he woke up, he went there, he asked the whereabouts, I am looking for a person with this name. He found the shop, and then he saw, and he went into a shop, he saw there is a young man at the counter. And he saw that whenever he is dealing with people, whilst he is dealing with people, his lips are always moving. So he asked him, what are you doing? So he said, I am reciting the Quran. So he said, I have come to give you good news, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me see this dream, and the reward of your Quran is reaching your father. So my purpose of saying is that a hafiz, he should recite the Quran, not just sitting. He should recite the Quran even whilst walking, whilst driving, whilst traveling. But a non-hafiz, this is a form of dhikr and it is the best form of dhikr. But a non-hafiz cannot do this. So what can a non-hafiz do to keep himself busy in the dhikr of Allah? Tasbihat, the third kalima, first kalima, astaghfirullah, durood sharif. Keep your tongue busy in this. Keep this tongue moist in them. And this will not happen on its own. You will have to do two things. What will you have to do? Two things. The first thing you will have to do is make a target. You will have to make a target that every day I am going to do this much dhikr. Every day I am going to recite the third kalima 100 times. Every day I am going to recite durood sharif 100 times. Every day I am going to recite astaghfirullah 100 times. Make a target. That is the first thing you need to do. The second thing you need to do is you need to purchase a tasbih or tasbih counter. This is a reminder for you. If you have one of these in your hand, it will remind you that you have a target to finish. And the target I am saying of 100 times, third kalima, 100 times, durood sharif, 100 times, this is nothing. If you make it a target and you try to finish it, then you will realize that you will finish it and majority of your day may still be left. On the way to work, on the way to college, you will see that it is all finished. On the way to the masjid, majority is already finished, it is still Zuhr time. But all of these are forms of the dhikr of Allah. And from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that all of these slowly but surely make deen easier for you. So one form of the dhikr of Allah is the glorious Quran. If a person is a hafiz, then he should recite, and he should recite not just sitting down, in every condition. And if a person is a non-hafiz, then he should still recite every day. Fix an amount and do it every day. Look, every person feels regarding the disobedience of Allah that staying away from it is difficult. Different forms of the disobedience of Allah. Sometimes a person feels it is outside my ability. I cannot control my anger. I can do everything, but I can't control. I can do everything, but I cannot control my gaze. So, my question to you is: okay, you are saying that is outside your control. But if I tell you that is reading Quran every day, fixed amount and read Quran, is that outside your control? No person can say that is outside my control. If I tell you that keep a tasbih counter in your hand and make it a point of reading the third kalima 100 times every day, will I even say? No person can say that is outside my control. Yes, on a day, specific day when a person is extremely ill or he's extremely busy, that is a different matter. But generally, no person can say that is outside my control. A person can say regarding certain sins or certain... Fajr is outside my control. But these are all deeds that no person can say that it is outside my control. But these deeds are the step. Let me give a very simple example. Every person has stairs in their home, don't they? Now, what is the difference in height between the ground floor and the first floor? A number of meters. If there was no staircase, there was no staircase. Imagine the, and I told you that you need to climb from the ground floor to the first floor. Or you need to come down, you'll tell me impossible. Without a staircase, without a ladder, anything. Now you put a staircase. What happens when you put a staircase? Does anything happen automatically? No. Nothing happens automatically. You still have to make effort. What effort do you have to make? The effort of climbing the stairs. But that effort is now manageable. It is easy. So in the same way, the effort of staying away from the disobedience of Allah, if it seems like a cliff, like a mountain, then engage yourself in the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah is the stairs. It will slowly but surely take you to the top of the mountain, which you thought was impossible to get to the top of. You thought it was impossible to get away from this sin, to control your anger. You engage yourself in the dhikr of Allah, that is a stair. Step by step, slowly, slowly, you'll get to the top. You'll gain the ability to stay away from the disobedience of Allah. So my purpose, I will come back to where I started, is that just like the tilawah of the Quran is a form of the dhikr of Allah, these tasbihat are a form of the dhikr of Allah. A third form of the dhikr of Allah which everyone can engage himself in is these du'as. These du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which he has taught us. So as well as giving you a lot of barakah and a lot of help in this worldly life, it will make a very large portion of your day filled with the dhikr of Allah. Think about it. If you just take the du'a of before eating, after eating, du'a. These du'as are form of the dhikr of Allah. That is 6 times you are already calling out the dhikr of Allah in different parts of your day. Adding the du'a for relief before going to a toilet, after coming out. These du'as will help you in filling your, in keeping your tongue moist in the dhikr of Allah. And it is a guarantee of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when a person's tongue becomes moist in the dhikr of Allah, then the rest of deen becomes easy for him. It no longer seems too difficult. So, my original intention today was to discuss some points that I learned on my trip. And the first point, actually, which I was going to discuss, but we will probably leave it for next week, was that I learned that a person, if he wants to, he can do anything. If he wants to, he can do anything. The amount of walking, the amount of difficulty, with millions of people there. But you will see elderly people there. You will see elderly people who are taking a wheelchair with them, with someone else, and they still manage to do it. And you yourself, so many people, I met other people who have been Pahaj, and every person has said, it was not as hard as I thought it would be. But you did all the mujahada that you thought you would do. All the mujahada which you thought, and you were told that you'll have to go to Mina, you'll have to go to Arafat, Muzdalifah is difficult. The tawaf afterwards, it is very busy. It was very busy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a person courage and determination, which if he uses, he can do much more than he thought he could. So this is a lesson for the whole of deen. That every part of the deen, if a person uses his courage and his determination, it is within his ability. So this was this I've mentioned in brief, the point which maybe we may mention in detail next week. And many other points as well, which Allah Ta'ala brought in mind through the barakah of the travel of Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon everything which has been mentioned.
Amen.
To bring these du'as into our life. These are all easy steps. To make deen, the whole of deen easier for us. Everyone is requested to keep coming. We have this gathering every Tuesday. Usually it is not long. I promise it will never go past Isha time. It will never go past Isha time. So Isha, between our Maghrib and Isha time, there is not even 1 hour. So inshallah, that means it will not even be 1 hour long. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a topic to practice upon what has been said. آمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله